Wizard Magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't want to fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 345. You are bad man, Josh. And I can't even explain why I'm laughing. Thanks. So,
nice intro.
Yeah, we'll move on from there. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Dave, Josh,
Pat.
So a bit of a somber week, with a major passing on Monday.
That's pretty cool.
That is good. It sucked for me because I was getting the oil changed in my car, which is normally a nightmarishly long process for some bizarre reason. And I bring a book, and it's like, okay, I got a couple hours to kill. I'll sit and read, which is kind of nice. You know, it's, I have nothing better to do. And sadly, about 15 minutes into my sitting there, all of a sudden I get a little notification on my phone, a little bing. Oh, let's see, what happened? What's going on in the world? Who, you know, what nuclear war has started, you know, type of thing. I pay a little more attention to news beeps now because of things like that. And it says Stan Lee passed, and I'm just like, oh. And so the worst thing is, you know, I want to process it, I want to deal with it, and I'm sitting in a car dealership, and it's like, I can't. I'm just kind of, please be done, please, I just want to go home and, you know, think about this. And I'm going through Twitter, seeing all the, you know, testimony, or not testimony, but, you know, little tributes and things like that, and it's like, you know, I'm getting choked up, and it's like, this is the last place I want to be right now.
Yeah.
And I'm trapped, and there's nothing I could do. It was awful. So an hour and a half later, I finally got to leave. But it was just, as the day went on, it was just more and more amazing to me when I saw The Rock post a picture of him and Stan, then NASA posted a tribute, and then the U.S. Army posted a tribute. And I was just like, just the breadth of the people. And
I
then
saw Paul McCartney, too.
Okay, I didn't see that. But and then even Merriam-Webster did.
Excelsior?
You know, yeah, and the Excelsior was the word of the day. And it's just great. Like, you know, that. It's like, no, he's ours. You know, like that's, you know, was the feeling, but, you know.
But he really isn't. I mean,
oh, I know.
He's his creations, anyway, have transcended well beyond comic book culture. I mean, yeah.
I get it, but it's just, you know, somebody that had
I would say his greatest success is bridging that gap between the normal comic community and the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I saw somebody mention that he hadn't actually written anything and done any real comic writing since 1972. So, just he's been the face.
The ambassador.
Yeah.
The face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
but
just
think about where comics were in 1972. Versus where you are today. I mean, you can almost not turn on a TV without a comic property being on one channel.
Yeah, and like I said, I got interviewed on the way back from Declan's basketball game. And what I, you know, one of the points I made is, was, you know, he didn't create all these characters, but he basically made the sandbox that the creators are playing in. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't create Wolverine, but he created the world that Wolverine came to. So, you know, none of that would have happened without him. And the other thing that kind of struck me was there was a little bit of the argument of, you know, he got more credit than he deserved and things like that. And it was also, I enjoyed the people smacking those people down a little bit, going, not now. You know, this isn't the time to bring up, you know, Jack Kirby
stuff.
I've
made my comments before.
No, I know.
But you can't argue the guy did do a whole lot for the medium and the industry, and it is, you know, regardless of what, you know, all of that, and I have my opinions, but now is not the time.
Right.
But now also is the time to recognize everything he has done and the fact that he did have such a great, you know, such a huge outreach and, you know, to the rest of the world and community.
Yeah. But it was a lot of, oh, you know, this and Jack and this and Steve and this and John Romita and this and John, and it's like, but it's Stan and in all these cases. Mm-hmm. And, you know, could they have done it without him? Probably not. We saw what Jack did on his own at DC, which was good, but wasn't quite as broad-reaching as what he did with Stan. And so
he
was
argue that he got credit for things he shouldn't have, but he was also the bulldog who knew how to market it and knew how to, you know, put the spin on it and make it popular.
Yeah. He was the carnival barker that they needed, yeah. And that, you know, Jack couldn't have done.
He was the showman.
Steve Ditko certainly wouldn't have been the guy up front talking. So he was, like I said, he created a character of Stan Lee. I think that was the Onion's obit, was Stan Lee, creator of Stan Lee, passes away, which is very true, you know, but he had that ability to create that, which was fantastic. The other thing I enjoyed was that he didn't start writing comics till he was 39. So that's pretty amazing that all that stuff happened after that. Because I know I met him, my big meeting story, I don't know if I've said it before, but it was the Chicago Comic Con. Apparently Tony was at the same one, which I thought was kind of neat. He met him at the exact same show I did. And it must have been 99, because he said it was 98 or 99, and I thought it was 99 or 2000, so it was probably 99. And just got in line. I had found the Spider-Man poster in my mom's attic, and I'm like, well, I know he's going to be there on the off chance. I might as well take it, you know, throw it in the backpack or the bag or whatever I had and give a chance. And so I was in line. I was 10 or 15 people past this is the end of the line sign, and it was a case we'd been in line not a long time, maybe an hour. And I'm like, well, there's no point in giving up. Let's see what happens. And kind of everybody around me had the same kind of opinion. And the line just flew. It's like everybody knew. It's like everybody wants to meet him. Don't dawdle. He doesn't need to hear your stories. Shake his hand. Get whatever you have signed. Move along. And I was able to step up to him. I thanked him for my childhood and asked him to sign Excelsior. And he said, great. Signed it. So I got to shake his hand, which I know, like, later you couldn't because he got too fragile. Yeah. Which, so, I mean, God, he was 75 or whatever when I met him, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, just that was my one meeting, which was wonderful. Wow. And then I got to, I was with another customer when I was in San Diego. When Tom Smithyman comes in, I was sitting with him in the panel. And we had to sit through the interesting thing about San Diego, for like not the Hall H stuff, which is the big, super, you know, big panel room, but in the other ones, they don't clear it out between panels. So we went in to the panel before his panel and got seats in there so we could, you know, make sure we were in there. And it was very painful sitting through the Marvel video game panel that I had zero interest in.
You could be Spider-Man.
Yeah, but this was pre that. They were talking about online games and app games and stuff, and it was just like, okay. But then when he came out, Jimmy Palmiotti hosted it because he had trouble hearing. Like questions, and Jimmy would repeat them to him and stuff. And it was just, it was one of those moments that you knew was important when you were sitting there. It was like, I'm literally in the same room. You know, this is very, very cool. And I'm just really glad I did it now. So that was really cool, just listening to answer questions. And, you know, it just sounded right. Because it's like Dave and I have been hearing Stan's voice since, you know, the 80s cartoons.
I know, first time. Yeah. You know, one of the first times probably aware of him or was on Spider-Man His Amazing Friends.
Yeah,
when you do the voiceover, and it was just captivating.
Yeah, that voice you'll never forget. It's fantastic. And I just shared on Twitter and Facebook, a video that somebody took like this weekend of him, and that said they were setting up the camera in his house. And just started recording, and he was talking about how much he appreciates the fans and how much they mean to him and stuff. And it was just, it was awesome. You know, here's a guy, you know, that just lived for that. And that's one thing somebody said. It might have been Jimmy Palmiotti or not. He was close with Stan just through their time at Marvel.
Jimmy Palmiotti seems like a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah, a good guy to get a beer with. Yeah, absolutely. He just did...
off-panel.
Was it off-panel? Yeah, he just did an off-panel podcast.
I'm actually halfway through. I was listening to it here.
Yeah. And yeah, just sounds like a genuinely nice guy. I've met him a couple times at some Diamond things. Said the last 14 months with, or it might have been even Joe Field had a real nice thing because Joe got to know him really well out in California. But when Joni died in 14 months ago, he's like, he's surprised he made it 14 months after her without her because she meant everything. They'd been married for 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
And said part of the problem is with her not there and these new handlers and stuff and not doing as many shows, he really lived for that. And he fed off the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And not having that, he lost a little bit of his spark, a little bit of his energy. and wasn't as, you know, in that, you know. Because we knew it was bad a couple months ago, but then we didn't hear anything after that. He did a new video, and he sounded a little more upbeat, and you kind of, you put him out of your mind. You didn't hear about him, you didn't think, so this way, that's why this was such a shock to me, you know, just unexpected. Because you expect to be, oh, you know, he's not doing well, he has pneumonia, whatever, and you see the end is near. We didn't have any of those signals. So that's why it was just really such a shock.
I mean, he was so larger than life. I never expect.
No,
You had a feeling that he was going to live forever.
Right. He's 95, but I think he could go another 95.
I mean, considering I met him 20 years ago, and he was not frail, but he was certainly, you know.
So,
Because I said what I said to him, and then the guy next to him said, Colin. You know, and then I spelled it, and he's like, okay, and then what, Excelsior, you know, he repeated it, you know, it was awesome. It was, you know, a defining moment, you know, it was awesome. But, it's funny seeing things, and, you know, when they say, you know, you won't see his like again, and you won't. You know, I was talking with, I think it was Michael, and I'm like, you know, it's like another Disney. You're not going to find somebody that did something that groundbreaking. There's other people that can do comics and things like that. But not create from whole cloth an entire company that now has, you know, million and billion dollar movies and all this stuff. You're not going to see that unless it's some new thing. You know, it's not going to be anything we know, TV, movie, print. It's going to have to be something completely new that's completely revolutionary that nobody's thought of. So I don't know what that is because I'm not a visionary. But, just all the tributes. And the seeing people, like, creators that you know and, like, they've never met him. Mm-hmm. You know, they never had a chance to meet him. It's like, wow, even I had a chance to meet him. So, you know, I'm one up on, you know, like Tim Seeley. Sorry, I'm one up on you. You know, and you've written all these books. So, you know, not to be mean, but just, you know, those guys never got a chance.
It's not a competition, Colin.
It's not, no, but I'm just glad I had an opportunity to do it. So that was cool. But it was interesting yesterday where you were getting tributes from all the other comic companies and Marvel was very silent. And then I saw a report saying that the Marvel offices were just devastated. And just, that's why they hadn't done anything because they just were trying to get their act together. But yeah, just large and life. Bye, Tim. I mean, I don't know what more can be said that hasn't been said, you know. Major impact on everything. And, you know, even the other companies, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, he transcended just the company.
Yeah.
He was comics.
And even though he really hasn't done anything meaningful creative-wise, you know, being that Carnival Barker, being that voice, being just that guy for comics, you know. Just even think, what was that, Avengers 3 or whatever it was, where he did the, you know, Mr. Stank cameo, you know. That was awesome. You know,
Stank.
Yeah, so that was awesome.
I liked the one in Guardians 2 better where he was a watcher.
Yeah.
Because to me that always worked best. Yeah. In order for him to show up in all the movies, he is a watcher.
Didn't they say they already filmed like,
cameos
for anything that's currently in production?
I know they said he filmed multiple cameos, which I think that also makes sense, not just because of the age, but...
I had him film a cameo for every single property that he might make a movie for.
But I love the Deadpool cameo. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
I was never used the DJ in the strip
club. Yes. but it's just so funny. We want you to be a DJ in a strip club.
He said he was never in a strip club. That was all green screen.
Okay, well, it's possible.
Hey, I'm not saying I believe it. That's what the man said.
And that's okay. But, that was, not a good day, but a good day of remembrance and, you know, seeing the stories and everything, you know, the people talking about it. And
you
it just sounds...
A good life. I
mean, oh, my God. You lived a fantastic life, you know. Yeah, no, I can't imagine he had any regrets at the end. Things he didn't do that he wanted to accomplish, other than he never did write his great American novel that he saved his given name for.
Instead, he wrote hundreds of great American mini novels.
Yeah.
You know, he created characters that not only are recognizable worldwide, but, you know, if Spider-Man shows up to your birthday party or Spider-Man shows up to meet kids in a hospital, it makes their lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, not many people can say that.
Yeah. So there's lots of tributes out there. I'm, you know, certainly not a professional in Stan, although I probably have a couple biographies at home. And I know the story, but it's all out there. And I'm sure we'll get a movie now.
Yeah, so, that's about the only Marvel movie they haven't,
yeah,
they haven't announced yet.
Someone made a like a fake movie poster with Bryan Cranston as Stan Lee. Mm-hmm. And he looks like him. You know, like a 70s Stan Lee.
That could work. Yeah. That could absolutely work.
I think the biggest problem with that is the voice, because the voice is so recognizable. Like
I can see Mark Maron more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good, too. I'm thinking about it, what he does look at like.
Yeah, he does.
That's good.
That's cool.
If they do that, the idea came from here.
Yeah.
Copyright, trademark.
Yeah, good luck with that. we can prove that they listen to this.
Podcast
yeah.
is as good as gold.
We're rich. Good job. So.
We have half as many episodes as This American Life. It's like the gold standard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're up there.
So, Stan, good job. Rest well. I hope you're back with Joni. So, but it was funny. I was talking with somebody. I was just like, I was a little disappointed that his daughter didn't take a little bit of better care. You know, when there was all the brouhaha about the people taking advantage. I'm like, where's his daughter? Mm-hmm. You know, you think she'd jump in there, but. Whatever, his daughter's probably 70, you know, to be honest, you know.
She's in her 60s.
60s, okay.
Yeah, she was born in 1950, and apparently okay. they had a second daughter that only survived 3 days.
Okay.
I've heard she's had some issues also.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, apparently she, it, a lot of the people that have become hangers-on to him and kind of allegedly had bilked him out of money, met him through her.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. So, okay. Other news. I don't know what else happened. Marvel announced a couple books that I'm less than excited about. Today was Hulk and Wolverine teaming up to take on Weapon H in a new book called Hulkverines.
Is well, that can I tell you?
Yeah.
That sounds more interesting to me than Electric Warriors.
There you go. Fair yeah. enough. Fair enough. But yeah, Hulkverines, and then they also announced Wolverine and the Infinity Watch, where he is gathering the, protecting the Infinity Stones. And I'm like,
because when I think of cosmic and space,
exactly.
and I think of Wolverine.
Exactly. So yeah, I'm seeing these come down, and Ryan Higgins has been real good tweeting these. He's like, yeah, because everybody just wants a good old Wolverine book, and we're getting, what? You know.
Hulkverines.
Yeah. So, yeehaw. Yeah, I didn't read Electric Warriors. I remember the book. That was one of I don't know if it was the epic line, but it was in that kind. It was on Baxter paper. I do remember that.
Yeah, I remember it too.
But I'm intrigued. Only I know Jermaine really liked it, so I'm intrigued. So, although I can't vouch for completely, because he liked another book that came out today that I did not like.
What book?
We'll talk about it next week. But there was one book I... what? So, I don't remember any... Sounds like you're opening a door on a ship.
I got it.
I know you would.
I can't really think of any other news of anything notable. You got anything,
I
Dave?
Saw that,
I like that color there's gonna, your pullover, Dave, by
oh,
the way.
Thanks.
It's a nice dark hunter green. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Yours is nice, too.
Yours is a little more of a lighter green. Yeah. Pat's wearing black, and I'm in a navy, so.
Deal was signed to make Black Hammer.
Oh yeah!
Oh yes, really? Yes, yeah. Jeff Lemire, yeah, he's doing well because he. So that's now Black Hammer and
Descender, and
Gideon Falls, and then I'm sure Royal City will probably get picked up because that's an easier one to do. Hang on, I just saw a bunch of people liked. I got a notification that a bunch of people liked Jeff Lemire's tweet, so let's see what it is.
we're going
to
be.
Oh, we do have some questions, so we'll get to those.
You'll hear it here first. What Jeff Lemire tweeted.
I'm looking at slow. Oh, it's just Black Hammer and Indie Comic gets a major film deal. Yeah.
Oh.
Who they get a deal with?
Legendary.
Okay.
So. We do have some questions. Unless there's anything else.
But do we have answers?
We always have answers.
Did you form an answer for that one guy's question yet? From like
no, I forgot about that. I apologize. I apologize. Okay. James was hoping Outer Darkness is on the list to talk about tonight. I did not get to that yet, so I don't know if anybody else did. Nick asks, if I'm reading Justice League and Justice League Dark, how much do I need to read the tie-ins advertised in earlier issues? I'm a little behind and close to catching up. The tie-ins are Aquaman and Titans. Titans didn't really tie in at all. It was just a little tie-in.
Yeah,
mostly involving Tempest.
Yeah, Titans lived in the universe. It dealt with the like invading fleet that was above
right.
Earth, but
and
not
then,
really anything.
No, it wasn't anything of notable. Sorry. Aquaman, I definitely say. I think that one probably was a lot more important to
Aquaman
the story.
Aquaman was part of the story.
Yeah. And then you're going to want to read... Yeah, if you're already reading Justice League, I'd grab those issues of Aquaman. Eric says, what do you think King's Jareds will do next? What do you want to see them do next? Heroes in Crisis excluded.
Another volume of Miracle, or of Mr. Miracle.
No, here I'd take it another way. I'd love to see him do a blue and gold. I think they could do an interesting story with a Booster Gold Blue Beetle.
Oh, okay.
Not in slapstick, but maybe a little more serious, but I think that would... there was enough...
I don't think that Mr. Miracle was slapstick.
No.
There were funny moments.
No, but those... No, I view those two more as the comic relief in the Justice League run.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see... I think a take on them, not due to Booster being in
Heroes
in Crisis, but just I think that would be an interesting book for them to do, and kind of a little off the beaten path, you know, not a main book. I can't really think of any other kind of offbeat characters that aren't having anything done with them that are just kind of sitting there right now that I'd love to see them do. But who knows? You know, I never would have said I'd love to see him do a Mr. Miracle book either.
I want to see him do a Metal Men book.
Oh, I'd love to see Johns do a Metal Men book because the way he wrote them in the Justice League run in New 52,
yeah.
I thought he had a real good take on them. I'd also love to see Ivan Reis draw it because he drew that, and I really almost bought pages until I was told I don't need any more art because I don't have enough room for the art I have.
You're the whole house.
I do know.
Do you want...
But I'd love to see those two do a Metal Men book. But no, I mean, I'd love to see these two do it too. But just Ivan Reis was fantastic.
I'd rather see John's Shazam.
It's coming.
So is Christmas. Which
it's
one's
coming.
Gonna get here first?
It's coming. It's ordered. So, you guys? Dave?
Animal Man. Another Animal Man book.
Yeah, I almost said that. I'm not sure... If how I feel about King on that. I mean, your prior would probably be good. I do.
I just love the characters.
So
I'd like to see a different new take on them. Or,
yeah.
It was interesting. Travel Foreman did a book recently. I forget what it was. But his art was a little jarring until I realized it was the same art on the Animal Man. Because even on Animal Man, it was a little jarring until you kind of...
I can't remember what
you got used to it. Yeah, it was
also.
Very recent. Yeah, and it was
almost picked up just because he was on it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, next, me asks, if the Flash held out of the Justice League like Le'Veon Bell, which Justice League member would ransack his locker first?
Batman.
I don't see Batman.
Hal.
Hal's not there anymore.
Yeah, see, honestly, I'd say Barry, but...
Well, obviously...
I know, but I'd just see him being more the light-heartedness. Yeah, I could see
I guess a little bit.
Okay.
Well, I'm thinking who would go and say, oh, he doesn't want these shoes, I'll take them, you know, like the Steelers did today. So, okay, now I have to exclude myself from this next one. So, which Einstein Brothers bagel cream cheese combo is the best? I don't like Einstein Brothers, so I'm sorry. I'm more of a Brugger's bagels kind of guy. I find Einstein too bready. A bagel should be harder, where I find Einstein isn't as, it is too soft. It's not enough of a bagel for me. So
that's actually quite interesting.
Just is.
Einstein's has a, like this, it's been a while, but I think they have like this Asiago Florentine bagel, like spinach and Asiago bagel. It's pretty good with, I think just the plain cream cheese is fine. I prefer for plain or some sort of like savory one over the sweet ones.
Dave?
Dave's not. I don't think I've ever had a bagel there.
You've never had a bagel?
Well, oh, no, I've had bagels. Take Einstein's out of the equation. What kind of bagel and cream cheese pairing do you think is best?
Well, just for that, I like a pumpernickel and plain cream cheese.
That's I'm just a plain person, so plain cream cheese. I'm vanilla. I'm totally more than vanilla ice.
Okay.
He's more vanilla than vanilla ice.
He's not going to collaborate and listen.
No bagel cream cheese combo for you, Pat?
I don't like cream cheese.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, and you're from Philadelphia. Is that allowed?
Philadelphia, as in the cream cheese, is actually Philadelphia, New York.
Ooh,
I had no idea. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Okay, you got that one over on me. Okay.
I love toast with cream cheese and green olives.
But I'm a big poppy seed bagel.
Poppy seed's a good one. Not for drug test kids, but...
You gotta eat a shit ton of poppy seeds for to pop hot on piss test.
Okay, best Justice League headquarter location. I'm going Hall of Justice. That's my
Uranus.
Excuse me?
Okay.
They had a Justice League headquarter on Uranus?
They didn't. I was just being a child.
Okay. But I'm sure there are Watchtower fans. Yeah, that's just, you know. Remember, I grew up on Meanwhile at the Hall of Justice, so you know when they were on a satellite, that was what? Why are they on a satellite?
Yeah, the Watchtower...
seemed a little too far away, you know, when you had a crisis. Yeah. What's Aquaman doing on a satellite? That makes no sense.
Space sharks.
No.
Where did the Justice League, the Kevin Maguire Justice League, have their headquarters? I can't remember. So I'll pick them.
Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, alien creatures communicate with whales.
That is true.
Had Aquaman been on a satellite... they wouldn't have had to go back in time. He could have just talked to them on behalf of the whales.
Okay, sorry, coordinating my ride since my daughter stole my car. Okay, next. Are we done with that? Are we good?
What's your preferred?
Oh, definitely Hall of Justice.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
I never liked the Watchtower concept.
It makes more sense to me. They're watching over the whole planet. They had the boom tubes. Get where they want to go quickly. I don't know. Hall of Justice seems more just like a museum to me.
I grew up watching Challenge of the Super Friends. That's why.
But it has a library, so.
That's true.
Dick. You wonder why he doesn't come to the podcast anymore.
Is Tom King a better Batman writer than Scott Snyder?
What did you do to get this many questions today?
The one person asked four questions.
Had this many questions ever.
He actually stopped in. He was in the store. I think he wrote them in his car.
Is Tom King a better writer than Scott
Snyder? Batman writer than Scott Snyder, yes. I think so.
I think Scott Snyder is a more consistently good Batman writer. I think Tom King has... going to hit higher highs and lower lows.
I think Tom's been better at finishing his stories.
Yes.
Than Snyder was. Well, Snyder's stories never quite worked. Like, even, like, Death of the Family didn't quite finish.
Some did. And Court of Owls was pretty solid.
But I still hold against Snyder that Mr. Bloom story. I didn't like that at all.
I didn't mind it.
See, I think Snyder did a better job of adding to the mythology.
Yes.
Where I think Tom King is better at taking, you know, Kite Man and making it interesting. Like, he's better at character writing.
That's a great way to say it. Tom King is better at, like, the character development and the interpersonal kind of things.
Yeah.
Whereas Scott Snyder had a lot of neat big ideas. The world and the mythology, and yes.
But even like Metal, the end of Metal didn't really. Because
his ideas would be so big and bombastic that you get that last issue and you're like, it's been good to this point, but how's he going to wrap it up one issue? And even, it couldn't really wrap up that well in one issue, but.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd say either is better than the other one. I just, I don't know.
Yeah. They're both very, very good writers, but I'm enjoying King's run a little more. That's the end of the question. Sorry.
That one arc with King and Bane and...
I didn't like that at all. No.
That one was so low for me.
That issue was horrible. Yeah. No. I get you. But, like, you know, we'll get to it very, very shortly, but that last issue I thought was fantastic. So...
Yeah.
Whereas I didn't get the previous one, Jermaine was yelling at me for not enjoying it as much as I should. I'm like, well, I don't know who KG Beast is. He's like, you didn't read Night of the Demon or whatever it was? And I'm like, no, I never did read that. And so that's why I didn't understand the importance of KG Beast. So now I'm told I need to go read that. So I will.
In your abundance of free time?
Right. Well, I have some free time coming. So, that's the end of the questions. Let's see, Dave, you said you were going to carry us this week on, because none of us read a whole lot. So you promised you were going to carry us. So what of the 15 books you read do you want to start with, Dave?
You read 15?
No, he said he read 3.
No.
I read more than 3, but I think I just want to talk about 3 that are... But The Wrong Earth, number 3... This book's really good.
I just got Second Prince of Two came in today, so I have one in my bag to read. So. But go ahead. Don't worry about me.
The two... I won't give away anything real big, but... Dragonfly, the superhero Dragonfly, the two of them, they switch Earths, Earth Alpha and Earth Omega. And this issue starts with the trial of Deuce, who's kind of the Harley Quinn character. And and you start to see, you know, in the trial how this world works as she gets off, you know, released. Because, you know, she was nice to Stinger, who was the Dragonfly's sidekick.
We gutted in issue 1.
Yes.
Or number 1 gutted him.
And there's a villain, Triviac, who takes, like the Riddler, who takes over this high society trivia challenge. And Dragonfly, from Earth Omega, he's on Earth Alpha, and he's calling the commissioner to tell him he found 4 dead bodies at St. Matthew's Church. And the commissioner doesn't care about that. He wants him to go to this trivia contest to battle Triviac. Meanwhile... Dragonfly on Earth Omega, he's dealing with the dirty cops there, and convenience store owners who are pointing guns at him, and he's saying, I've been chased by giant bowling balls and fed into giant sewing machines, but I'd rather go back to those horrors than what I'm dealing with on this Earth.
Okay.
Tom Payer's writing this. He's just doing such a good job because these could be just like carbon cutout characters, each of them, and not have much depth. But he's really given depth to these two characters
okay.
and how they're dealing with their new situation, because Dragonfly, he's on Earth Alpha, and he's driving around in his Dragonfly mobile, looking at everybody who loved Dragonfly Man, and he just mutters to himself, "Morons." It's, I mean, these Ahoy books, they're so good, yeah. Every one of them. James, there's the new James Bond book. Okay. James Bond 007, number one. This is written by Greg Pak.
Mm-hmm. It's a story about Oddjob, right?
It's about Oddjob, yeah. It's, he's, Bond is, it takes place in Singapore, and Bond is following this smuggler, has a briefcase. We don't know what's in the briefcase. And a Korean...
Marcellus Wallace's soul.
Yeah. And a Korean secret agent, you know, is after the same thing. He introduces himself as Mr. Lee, but it turns out to be Oddjob. And they have a fight and in the kitchen, and you have all the classic Bond motifs. We have, you know, the casino and the card game and everything. So... I mean, this takes place in the same continuity as the Warren Ellis books.
Okay.
But I read an interview with Greg Pak. He says he has, you know, stories planned out for more than a year. So might actually get into, like, a double-digit Bond book.
What?
Well, I thought that they were meant to be, like, standalone.
Yeah, I know. I know. It sounds like... I don't know if that's... I should take that back, because I don't know if that's the course they're going to take or not, and have just regular series instead of...
That might be his plan, but it might not be Dynamite's plan.
Yeah.
So, I think it works better as that standalone thing, because it's like a movie.
Yeah.
You know, where you have the clear beginning, middle, and end, and then when the next guy takes over writing, it doesn't have to have anything to do with that book. You don't have to worry about the continuity.
Yeah.
Hell, you can change what James Bond looks like. No one notices. M's a woman now. Now M's a man. That's, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. But it was okay. We'll see where it goes. It's, art was nice. Kind of like a Brian Hitch influence there. But the Warren Ellis stuff was a little bit different with the way they did the art. So we'll see. And read the Star Wars Adventures.
Oh, yeah, the one with...
Destroyer Down.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the all-ages book?
Yeah,
this is
that's all what, ages that one book. With Rey, where she finds a Star Destroyer.
Yeah, this takes place before The Force Awakens, and that Ungar Plut wants all the scavengers to go to this Star Destroyer that was unearthed by the sandstorms on Jakku. The Star Destroyer Spectral, and he says it's a ghost ship because supposedly there's stormtroopers still alive on it or might be haunting it or something like that. And there's two stories, and then there's a story about the ghost ship that shows the Battle of Jakku and how powerful the Spectral was, and this new Rebel squadron, Shepherd squadron, going up against them. So, it's kind of cool that they're showing some of the Battle of Jakku, what happened there, for at least from a couple different perspectives. But, you know, the art's cartoony. Derek Charm does the art. He did the Jughead book. But it was interesting. I like that book. And that's all I really wanted to talk about, I think.
Okay.
Josh?
First one, because I learned a few from last week. Wicked and Divine, The Funnies,
okay.
Number one. It's just a weird book, because the main book is not really a humorous series, but the creative team does...
Oh, it was hilarious when they blew her head off. Oh, it was awesome.
Chopped the heads off, and then the heads are still alive. And but the creative team is throughout the run of this book, done different, like, you know, experiments to change up the format of it, especially with these one-off issues. So this one is almost like an anthology book that just tells, you know, short, like, one- or two-page stories. A couple were a little bit longer, most were around, like, 2 pages. and they're all, you know, living in the in this universe they built, but just, you know, kind of wacky stories. Like, one was the gods were resurrected, but they were all dogs. And then you had Anunnaki killing all the dogs, or what you think is killing all the dogs, and putting this big, you know, sack, like she's about to drown the dogs, and then it ends up being, it ends on a funnier note than that, but yeah, it was odd. Some were good, some were...
drowning dogs. Those guys, those are, they're so funny.
They didn't drown at the end, though.
They're so funny.
At the end, she sent them off to an actual better place. But some were good, some didn't work.
State? Yeah. That's not good.
Some didn't work as well, but it was neat. It was a different, you know, completely different feel within the universe of these characters. So, I mean, I could appreciate it for what it was. I don't know if I probably liked less than I disliked with it, but overall I think it was still a neat way to change things up. Justice League number 11.
I read that.
Continuing the Drowned Earth storyline. I really like this story a lot. Yeah. I've liked this crossover event, and I also liked the Witching Hour crossover event quite a bit. I don't like these bookend issues that don't fit into any of the other, you know, series. I think that's kind of unnecessary to be doing. But the story itself has been pretty solid. And this Justice League book and the crossover as a whole, Justice League's really getting their asses kicked. Like, they're not doing well.
Well, you got
so
Batman
far.
In a body cast to start with. So
Batman seems to has lost the Hall of Justice at this point. Aquaman was stabbed through the torso by Poseidon after he and Wonder Woman set off to find the Garden of the Gods to try and get Poseidon, you know, to come back and help them out. Barry is turning into one of these sea monsters. Superman has an eye patch now because his eye got all jacked up. Like, they're not in good shape at this point. The Legion of Doom seems to be, you know, running circles around them. I'm still waiting to see why, you know, these cosmic, you know, sea gods would have made a deal with the Legion of Doom in the first place. But, you know, this has been really good. I've been enjoying it. Also, the variant cover on last week's Justice League was awesome. You think you sold out pretty fast.
Was it an Aquaman cover?
No. It was the Aquaman.
Or was it Superman cover?
It was an Aquaman cover. He was standing, like, he was in the water surrounded by sharks.
Okay.
It was really cool. You sold out pretty fast.
It happens.
I know. The Green Lantern number one.
I read that.
I didn't love it.
I didn't either. I thought he was trying to be too clever, too 2000 AD. What I didn't like was the aliens talking early on, and it wasn't they were talking English or they were talking gibberish.
Yeah.
They were talking a combination, and I had to try to figure out what they were saying, and I found myself annoyed reading it.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't feel that way.
The story wasn't great. The dialogue wasn't great.
Yeah.
I didn't think the art was great. It felt like no. Liam Sharp was trying to do a poor man's Steve Dillon.
Yeah. Green Lantern shouldn't say chill. You know, that just was odd. I was also confused about the scene where he's with the girl, whoever she is.
So, like, that's what made me say
and
Steve
said he got
Dillon
fired from his job at Quickie Mart, and I'm like, so is he not
part,
Green Lantern yet?
The whole part of him, like, in the desert, when you see, like, him laying there, looking up the sky, and then where he's having sex with that girl, felt like they were trying to preach her almost.
Yeah.
It was weird. Yeah. And then so much has happened between the previous Lantern books and this, because suddenly he went from being this, you know, massive hero to the Lanterns to now being, you know, persona non grata with the Guardians and the Lanterns, and getting brought back, you know, begrudgingly to kind of, you know, help them out. Yeah, I'll give it a few issues, but I did not enjoy this nearly as much.
Yeah,
as I
mean, it got going at the end.
Yeah,
but yeah, the start was very, very rough. And then you had the one Lantern, and he got his ring finger bitten off, and didn't seem all that bothered.
No, he wasn't. He
and then the ring,
all.
The finger was flying along with him, and then he's about to be attacked, and he goes, "Oh bother!" You know, I didn't get it.
Yeah,
I didn't get it at all.
Grant Morrison either knocks out of the park or...
Yeah.
Did you understand what was going on and it just didn't?
Yeah, but it just
didn't hit you.
I can understand what's going on.
Yeah, like these guys had a luck wheel that they stole from the Lords of Luck, but then oh no, it wasn't. It was just a wheel, and just it was
There was this giant gerbil looking guy. Yeah, who didn't look very good. It just it's weird.
I was not a big fan of that. So that was a little rough at the midnight release. So what'd you think? Yeah.
And that's it for me.
Patrick.
Well, I guess we'll talk about Batman.
I read that. Special. I read that. And I'm so happy you guys left this last one for me, this other one. You guys rock.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I know none of you read it.
So. No, we didn't. I thought about reading it, but I decided against it.
Oh, we could talk about the TV show, too. Oh, you haven't seen it yet, Daredevil?
Hmm.
You haven't watched it.
I can leave.
No.
So apparently the Penguin was married
to a much younger person. I was wondering. Yeah, I was wondering if that was a daughter at first due to the ages.
They
didn't actually show her at all.
No.
So the whole time I kept wondering, like, is that really a person in that coffin?
Yeah, but it was him at a grave, and it had their dates on it, and it was she was much younger.
Yeah, but even the dates themselves,
she was like 20 years younger than he was.
Yeah.
But she was an adult. You all right?
My back hurts.
Oh, okay. So
too much flooring work.
the joys of homeowner.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I just found that whole thing very odd. I mean, I didn't find it odd that he, like, kind of kept her away from her family, wouldn't let her father participate. Like, that makes sense because he's the Penguin. But the fact that he was even married, for me, just didn't make a whole lot of sense.
I just expected to be, like, a Penguin. Like, an actual Penguin.
That would be really creepy. Yeah, so... he's going to work with Batman, it looks like, in order to...
Yeah, so, like, he pledged his loyalty to Bane, but it looks like he might not actually be...
And did you notice that the Earth... Or the Flashpoint Batman was behind Bane?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was... I want to know what's up with that.
Yeah. He was on that one that was at the end of the wedding issue as well. He was there. And right. He did say, yes, that is... Thomas Wayne Batman from Flashpoint. I'm like, oh, that's a story I'm very much looking forward to.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that come on, Tom, and get there. Yeah, very interested in that. But so, you know, Bane apparently is looking to threaten Bruce Wayne, but they're not allowed to kill him. And whatever happened to the Penguin's wife, she apparently got her throat slit, was based on some previous screw-ups that the Penguin had. So now he's going to work with Batman, or presumably work with Batman. It might be part of the setup to work with Bane. I mean, we'll see where that goes. But I thought it was a good issue.
All Batman's rogues are working with him right now. Detective, you had Two-Face working with him. Now you have Penguin working with him.
Yeah. In Europa, you had Joker working with him.
In White Knight, at the end, Joker worked with him, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, yeah.
Kite Man was working with him.
Yeah, we see where that ended.
Yeah, but still. Harley Quinn. In White Knight.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, because Harley Quinn now is more anti-hero than true villain, but yeah. He does have a big rogues gallery, though. He can afford to turn a couple, and he still has one or two. Yeah. So, the other one I read...
Art was fantastic in Batman, also.
What's that?
The art was fantastic in Batman, also.
Yeah.
Was that Janin?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
And then the other one I read was Walking Dead, which...
yeah, but... poor Alfred, but... Yeah. Kill yourself, you know.
Yeah, kill the pilot and kill yourself.
The only thing I found confusing was when Alfred started talking to the computer, I didn't quite understand that.
I was a little confused by that, where he was saying and then the computer was saying it, but it was like he was, it just, I was a little confused by that dialogue.
I didn't realize that was a computer saying it. I thought that was Bruce talking.
That's what I thought.
Oh, was it? Okay.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Okay.
I think you're right. Yeah,
okay.
That's what I thought also.
Okay. I just got confused by that.
I could be wrong.
I could be wrong.
Because Bruce was out somewhere and talking
right.
to Alfred.
But it was like he was repeating.
Because it was showing, like, the Bruce's panel, and then it would show Alfred's panel, so you're seeing, like, the speaker.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. No, it's all right. And then Walking Dead, which, just based on what they're doing with the show, this is definitely taking a different turn. It kind of looks like another community is going to have Rick be their leader.
When's the last time that book surprised you?
100.
That wasn't a surprise, though.
Glenn wasn't a surprise?
Not that the character died. The manner in which he died was a shock. The eye-licking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Lydia licked Carl's eye socket, that one kind of shocked me.
But in terms of, like, actual, you know, plot or story... 100 is probably the...
But even there, someone had to die. That part wasn't shocking. The brutality was shocking. But you were getting to the point where someone had to go. I can't even remember the last time. It's truly like, oh, wow, that really came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm.
It just feels like they just do the same things
over
and over again.
Well, they do. You know, because the Commonwealth is run by a woman who they call the governor. You know, she's kind of an asshole, just like the governor, although it is different. You know, and it's, you know, kind of the infighting and all that. I don't know. I've read 185 issues, so I guess I'll just continue to read it. But it's not like it was around the time of 100 where that was the first thing I'd read.
Yeah.
Now it's more like, okay, well, you know, I've read it this long, I gotta keep going and see what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the TV show at this point. It's like, all right, I've sat through all these seasons, I might as well see where this goes. So, that's it, Colin.
Okay. Well, I only read one other book, which would have been Marvel Knights 20th Anniversary Number 1. Not a fan. Basically, you have Daredevil has woken up and doesn't know who he is or why he can kind of see. And
he does get hit in the head a lot, to be fair.
Is at Karen Page's grave, but he doesn't know who she is or why she's important to him. And somebody shows up who, it's like, it might have been like a police officer. It's like, you know, this is who you are. I was told to come here. And then something happens. And then later on you have Bullseye, who doesn't know who he is either, but he's being manipulated by somebody else. And it's just... it was very weird. It just didn't make sense. And it was also Bullseye who had the indentations in his head.
Oh, like Colin
Bullseye.
Farrell.
And when I mentioned that to somebody, I said, that was like in the Daredevil Bullseye book that Kevin Smith did that we got one issue of. And I'm like, so where are they going with this? I don't know. It was just weird. I did not like it at all. So, I'm sorry, because I loved Marvel Knights. I enjoyed that Kevin Smith run, other than what happened in it. I was not a fan of, but where they killed off Karen Page for no apparent reason. But yeah, I just it was really a weird book. So, But that's the last one I read. I didn't read a whole lot. But, so I only read four for this week. I've already read four of this week's books.
Wow.
I'm ready to go, including two huge, oversized books.
Wow.
We might as well just record straight through to the next episode.
So since we're not going to do it next week. Okay, so, no.
We're going to do it next that. Week?
We're going to we do it do next week. Of course we're going to
we
do it.
Pre-Thanksgiving.
I promise to read even more books this week. I will have probably
will
at least 10.
Will you remember
10.
Them?
I can make no promises.
I okay. will also read more books for next week.
So, because, I mean, I was interviewed about the Stan Lee thing, and then in the article,
he
aged me 2 years. Not cool. So Colin McMahon,
why,
and then my age in parentheses.
Age
he asked my age. And I told him my age. No, I don't know. He asked my age. I put my age in. I think his name was Matt Furman. It was just an online article. One of my customers saw it and forwarded it on to me.
Oh, okay.
And it, you know, he quoted me. He didn't misquote me or anything. But it just, yeah.
You took my age out of context.
Yeah, yeah. Why did you age me?
Had to ask for
but
age.
It was kind
I
of funny.
Had to get the age.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I was driving.
Why? I don't know.
It's not like Girls Gone Wild. I mean,
kind of a mystery to me too. But
if you're gonna ask, get it right. I mean, he doesn't want to be 62
oh,
yet.
Oh, I know.
Hey,
no excuse for getting that wrong.
53, no. They said. But I was driving Deck back from his basketball game, and like I texted him, you know, he's like, do you have time to talk? And I'm like, I'm literally on my way to a basketball game, and I need my phone to get me there. Because one time Gene Ha called me, Tim had him call my cell phone as I was on the way to Katie's softball game, and then I didn't know where I was going. And I'm like, I need my phone to tell me when to turn. I'm sorry, I can't talk right now. I miss Gene Ha, I finally had to get off of, because I'm like, I'm totally lost in Mount Lebanon. But so when the game was wrapping up, I messaged him and he called me on the way home, which was kind of cool. So I'm getting interviewed on the phone and Deck sitting there. I'm like, yeah, I just got interviewed by a reporter. So your dad's important. So
what news outlet?
I don't even remember.
Weekly World.
No, no, it was reporter. It was a local one. Let me see.
Penny Saver.
No, it was not the Penny Saver. Sorry. I know this is good radio.
Calling us interviewed by so many people, it's hard to keep track of.
Oh,
it
yeah,
is,
yeah.
It is. You're right. No, I'm just looking for the email.
I'm just filling space.
I appreciate it. Where is it?
Pat, I like this goatee you have going on now.
Thank you.
You're looking like a Stark.
I was going more for an evil Spock thing, but okay.
Well, I see like a Stark or a Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Not a Game of Thrones Stark. I meant, you know, of the Tony variety.
Yeah, because it doesn't work out real well for the male members of the Stark family.
Yeah.
There it is. Pittsburgh Current. I guess it's an online thing. But
Dave, are you aware of them? I mean, you are a resident journalist.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
How come you didn't interview him?
Matt Petras interviewed
him. Oh, yeah. Why didn't you interview him?
I don't know him.
Hmm? Why didn't you interview him?
I don't know. I don't think that would really fit my...
I wasn't doing... Yeah, because with the last run, it was like municipal meetings and stuff.
Yeah. I mean...
Oh, your current role, yeah.
My
no,
current role,
current role
my
you
current
would have
role,
nothing to do with
I don't
think
we me. Had a paper in Peters, but that would have been perfect if we did. Back.
So, that's what we got for this week. Pat?
So, what's coming out next week, Colin?
So, it's a little bit lighter week than this week. This week was insane. We have American Carnage, which is a new one from Vertigo. About a disgraced FBI agent who infiltrates like a white supremacist group to try to do something big.
I thought it was Scott Snyder writing Carnage.
No. Nice try. We have Aquaman 42, which is part of Drowned to Earth. We have Archie 700, just for Dave.
Finally.
And a lot of covers up through J. Mm-hmm. Batman 59, we'll see a little more of the Penguin story. Betty Page has a new series coming. With the new number one, Crimson Lotus, which is spinning out. That's one of the BPRD stories from Hellboy. We have GoBots number one, for all you GoBots fan. This is by a local guy, Tom Scioli, is doing that. Infinity War's Ghost Panther. So if you ever wanted to see what Ghost Rider and Black Panther merged looked like, this is your opportunity. Justice League 12, which is another part of Drowned Earth. It's like, why didn't we get one of these this week? But hey, you can't schedule these things. Light Step number one. This is a new one from Dark Horse. Marvel Knights 20th Anniversary number two. I'll read it just to see where this is going. Middle West is a new one from Scotty Young about a kid. Like the storm is like chasing and following him. It's like some sort of fantasy book.
Like you?
Night Moves. This is a noir horror book from IDW. Rick and Morty presents Pickle Rick. You know, all the Pickle Rick fans are going to want this one. Smooth Criminals. This one's from Boom. This is a story about this lady, just an average housewife, accidentally stumbles upon a like cryogenically frozen 70s master thief and thaws her out and goes on adventures.
I was really hoping for a Michael Jackson thing.
I thought it was going to be Walt Disney.
Smooth Criminal?
You just think of the cryogenically frozen. We have Spider-Geddon number four. And we also have Spider-Man Enter the Spider-Verse, which I think involves the new video or the new movie. Succuban Turbo is about an all-girl like Japanese gang type thing. I'm not sure what all that means. Uncanny X-Men 2, because it's a weekly. Woo! And Web of Venom Carnage Born. I know people are looking forward to this one. So that's what we got coming out next week.
So where can people find you, Colin?
Find me at the store. I never leave. No, PittsburghComics.com. It's what?
No.
I think you said a word I don't want to hear. PittsburghComics.com. We got the Facebook, Pittsburgh Comics. Instagram and Twitter are PGH Comics. We have Local Comic Shop Day is this Saturday. We're going to have a big sale. Lots of special books and stuff.
Seems like they've scaled away or moved away from any of the like statues and stuff like that.
It's a case of whatever the publishers want to do. The only statue I think we've had was the Lion Cat, and that was basically a con exclusive that they had extras of.
There was the Lion Cat. There was the special Bombshell Killer Frost.
Oh, that's true.
I thought there was a Harley Quinn one time, too. Like a holiday version of a Harley Quinn.
I think that was normal.
I don't think that was special, but you're right.
No, there may have been one special Harley Quinn.
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
And then there was a couple pops. Like there was the robot from Lost in Space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, that was Diamond.
Yeah, there were a few.
I apologize. Yeah, it's I don't know. If I'm on the board next year, I will definitely play a little larger role in getting that. Because this year, there was a lot of stuff that actually made me mad.
Is there anything that's original? Like, we had that Rough Riders original book a couple years ago.
Yeah, that was cool.
There's an Archie one. There's a Cheryl Blossom that I don't remember seeing offered normally. No. So that, and it's got a photo cover from the show. I don't think there's anything else super, like that. Valiant did a neat one. It's an Exo Manowar, big oversized hardcover. That's also signed. It's 50. That's a neat one.
It's out of my range.
It's what?
It's out of my range.
Not for a Christmas present for someone else to purchase for you.
So my problem is I already have all the issues.
Right,
so.
But you don't have a big fancy hardcover that's signed. So, just saying.
How do you know what I have?
But, yeah, I'm just not a real fan of the mechanics of it this year. But, so that's going on. Then next week, of course, we have Black Friday and Small Business Saturday and Call and Sleep Sunday. And then everything's just kind of gearing up. We have book club is the end of the month. I have plenty of copies. I got in four more copies of the book, and I actually have three more of the new printing coming in next week because I forgot I had those other copies coming in. So lots of copies. It's Marvel's trade paperback, kind of very, very, very fitting for right now about the origins of the Marvel Universe through the eyes of a regular person. Really good book. Kurt Busiek and Alex Ross's really first painted work.
When the hell is Kurt Busiek finishing up that Batman?
Yeah, I know.
It was a creature of the night.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
I saw that either solicited or something, that it's coming, like in the next couple months.
That's all I can think of. We will be doing Festivus. I'm going to try to do something for the first 2 weeks of December as well, before Festivus.
Airing of grievances?
Well,
feats of strength?
I have this small group of retailers. We have a Facebook group.
That's your airing of grievances?
No, but that's part of it. It was basically a way to talk about problems and how to deal with problems and stuff, just in a smaller group than like Comics Pro, which is, you know, 500 members.
Yeah.
Just people that know one another. And just so we could kind of talk about stuff. And the one guy was talking about, you know, what our expectations were for the holiday season and what we were hoping to do, what we were hoping would sell. And I said, you know, last year, the first 2 weeks of December were actually my slowest 2 weeks of the year. And it may have been because my front of my store was boarded up with plywood. I don't know exactly what the reasoning was, but I definitely need to, you know, I do the 12 days of Festivus, but that's from the 13th to the 25th. I need to make sure I have something going on these first 2 weeks, because it was so slow last year, so unexpected. My hope this year, it might be a little bit better because it's only a 3-Wednesday month, because the fourth Wednesday is actually a skip week. So we're getting some books like Fantastic Four number 5, maybe. I don't see that happening, but that's just me. Being we just got 3 this week, I don't see them putting out another issue in 2 weeks, and then that one actually has to ship the 19th for us to have it.
That's supposed to be the wedding issue.
The wedding, right. So we're supposed to do a big thing, and I'm like, I'm a little concerned if issue 3 was this late, how they're going to get 2 more issues out so quickly.
Well, plus the last time they had a big thing for a wedding, it didn't turn out well.
Well, that was DC, you know.
Just saying.
I hear you. Yeah, I don't think anybody's going all in on this. So I'm hopeful that, you know, it's going to be 3 weeks that are going to be a little fuller than normal.
Yeah.
Although I don't think DC is going to be fuller. I think they planned for it, because I was looking through the previews, and several of their books are actually shipping 3 issues in January. Because January is a 5-Wednesday month, and I think they moved the last week of December basically to the first week of January. So we're getting like 3, I want to say 3 Batmans, 3 Wonder Womans I know I saw. So we'll see how that all rolls out. But
Have you thought about doing something like, you know, just a consistent like month-long sale?
But like of what?
Like from Black Friday or right after Black Friday through the rest of 2018.
Okay.
Buy 2, get 1 free trades.
Oh. I could. The problem is that's taking my biggest sales window and basically giving away 33% of my profit. Or actually 66% of the profit. So that's the concern with doing something like that.
How's it 66?
Because I'm giving away 33% of the price, but
he still has to pay.
Right. But if I normally make 50% profit, I'm giving away 100% of that.
So, no, I hear you saying, but also, you know, I mean? You have people buying more.
Right, right. It's possible, but it's just, the problem is if you do it for a month long, then people start, it gets to be an expectation. And my goal is I want to move some older stuff, some clear stuff. Right, but I'm just saying, like, my goal right now is to move some of the staler merchandise, some of the stuff that I want to move. And I'm going to do deeper discounts on that stuff to start off. Like, when I was doing the inventory, when I was fixing the inventory, I realized I still had a full set of Incredible Hercules in paperback and hardcover. Well, I probably don't need those at all, let alone in both versions. So maybe I'll throw those out for $5 and see if they'll go and clear out some stock, not just like my overstock and my doubles, but try to thin the shelves a little bit. Some plans for doing some stuff with some back issues and overstock, like mystery packs and bundles and all sorts of stuff. So, but yeah, I just don't know. The month-long sale might be more painful than it's. I get what you're saying, but
just throwing it out there. That's it.
Oh, I hear you. But so
keep your eyes open. I will be posting everything on the website and on social media. And Dave.
That's the podcast.
We'll talk to you next week.